Self-love is the best love.
Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, and I'm Tim Bennett, CEO and creator of Self Love University. If nobody told you this by now, I'll be the first to tell you happy Self-Love Tuesday. Bring your joy to your world, bring your light to your life. Do something that fulfills your life with joy, peace, love, and understanding. And what understanding is, that's what this podcast is. Understanding how to love ourselves, understanding how and the nasty parts of ourselves, understanding what love is, understanding why am I in this hole right now called life? Why am I feel like I'm draining? Why I feel like I'm not myself? Why do I feel like I'm not going through or not doing what I'm supposed to do? And that's what this podcast is meant to teach. And that's what I hope this podcast is getting to the guys that's listening. I know I haven't been doing podcasts on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, and it's been sporadic, but the main reason is because I wasn't all the way in on the subject matter. I have to be 100% all the way in. When you talk about love, when you talk about something that feels people, I don't feel comfortable if I am not 100%, because I don't want to leave y'all drained in a place of misunderstanding. And that's what this podcast is all about, understanding. And what we're going to talk about this week is the word no, and how people use self-love as a means to say no when they're lying as well. And people who need to learn how to say no for self-love as well. In order to love ourselves, we have to say no as well. No is so complicated, but it's so simple at the same time. But we got to understand how to use it. And that's what we're going to dive in and we're going to talk about. And at the end of the podcast, I'm gonna do something new. It's going to be a segment, a segment that I feel passionate about, what's going on in the world, what's going on in my life, what's going on, period. And we're going to talk about it. And it's going to be the last part of the podcast. And I hope you guys love it if I can talk. And I believe this podcast is going to be amazing because we haven't talked in a while. And I miss you guys. And as always, tell a friend, tell your teacher. It's almost the end of school, so you're about to graduate. So tell your college professor that you're about to have. But anyway, tell somebody that you feel that's going to be blessed by this episode. I love you guys. Enjoy. Saying no is the most beautiful, complex, simple, aggravating. Every feeling that you can associate with feelings and you say no, you can attach them to. Every feeling that you've ever had can be attached to the word no. On how you say it, when you say it, the reasoning behind you saying it. Saying no without even saying no can have so many negative consequences towards your life. So I was watching a sermon the other day, and he was going in detail about Moses and how Moses, when God told Moses to basically talk to Pharaoh about freeing his people, he started and saying that he would do this about when Moses was 25. Moses began to question basically why me, why this, why that, why that. And it didn't take until Moses was 80 when he finally got in front and talked to Pharaoh about freeing God's people. So from 25 to 80, not much time, energy, consequences happened to Moses by questioning, by saying no instead of yes. by questioning. And Moses' biggest thing is he was like, who am I? Like, bro, who am I to do this? I'm just a regular guy. I'm just this 25-year-old that really don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, and just here, like, bro, like, why am I supposed to do that? You got all these other people, like, why you choose me, man? I'm 25 years old. Like, you don't got nobody that's 35, 40, 50, something like that. But in Moses saying no, he caused himself so much pain, so much agony, so much despair, just because he didn't know what's next. He caused himself 55 years of agony by saying no. You know how crazy that is? You know how, like, unthinkable. You know, yeah, you guys know I can't talk. Unthinkable. 55 years for just saying no. 55 years of saying no to the wrong person. 55 years of questioning that what you're supposed to do in life. 55 years of not understanding, not believing, not like really grasping what you're supposed to do in life and saying to what you're supposed to do in life, no. Like, you know how hard that is just reading that? That maybe I was 25 and I maybe questioned what I was supposed to do in life, which most 25-year-olds do. Like, shoot, I'm 28 and I still question, am I supposed to be here? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? And not knowing that I could be on a 55-year run, that when I could have said yes, all things would have been perfect. Or I could have said no, and all things would be in line to where I'm supposed to be. That's a crazy thought. That's a crazy thought. I want to know if I was back in the day when Moses was like 80 years old and he was like talking to folks, was like, hey, bro, man, y'all need to say yes to this, because, bro, I wasted 55 years of my life just because I didn't say yes. And just in fact, the people still didn't listen, because it took 40 years for when the people was freed to get to the Holy Land. And Moses wasn't even allowed because of a act that people did and God told them not to do. And they told him, nah, we're going to do it anyway. And God says, Moses or these people will never see the promised land that was promised towards them. You 40 years. So Moses, he knew like the consequences of questioning God. He knew the consequences of saying no. But instead, and he told the people, hey, y'all, because I know if it was me, I was like, hey, man, I just spent 55 years of my life questioning and wondering and running from God's will. Can y'all please just like do what he say? Because I'm trying to get to the promised land. I know it's there. Like, just come on, bro. Just listen to me. I was there. I was, you know, hard-headed jokers. They, man, what the ghost know? He about 80, man. He might be senile. You never know what he talking about, man. He going crazy. You know how hard that is to watch Moses watching them, like, well, God, I know they see me part the Red Sea. I know they see me free, and they know a scene happened in the city, but they still ain't gonna listen to you. I tried to tell them. And without them knowing, them going to a place to look, we got told them to stay put. Going to the place. Like, that caused them 40 years of never seeing the promised land. That's harsh. And it didn't even cost it, like, the consequences of that as well. Like, not only did it cost Moses, like, it cost the God's people, but it also cost Moses as well. Because everybody know there's a saying that crap rolls downhill. Like, since, like, hey, Moses, these your people, right? You led them. So you're the leader. You didn't do it. All right. They didn't do it. So you ain't going to do it either. You ain't going to go there either. That's harsh. That hurts. Because when you spent 55 years questioning. Running. And then when you're like 80 years old, hey man, I'm going to stop questioning and running, and I'm going to do your will and do your way. And I'm not going to stray. I'm not going to do anything. I'm for you. You say this, I'm this. You say jump how high. I ain't even going to say how high. I'm just going to jump. Because I spent 55 years saying how high. How high do you want me to jump? Instead of just jumping. So you might ask, Tim, what does this got to do with saying no? We have to understand what we're saying no to. We have to understand what we're saying yes to, what we're answering, what the decisions that we make. Because you don't want to spend your life with this female or man wasting away. Because you like the fling of the week. You liked her because she's cute. Does that sound like some of y'all relationships? Does that sound like something you're just wasting time so you can get to the next person? There's a thing. I was on TikTok. You guys know I love TikTok. TikTok's one of my favorite things. I don't do no dances or anything, but I like watching it. It's entertaining. And like I said, I don't have a game system, so TikTok top and Candy Crush is two things that you'll find on my phone used the most. And it was like three categories of men. There's men that know, and basically there's men that, let me get this right because I don't want to mess it up. There's men that are playing games. There's men that, no. It was three categories that men see women as. So there's women that, is this men that, is women that men think that are play toys, that's a late night creep, a little sneaky link. There's women that men think are just here to fill this space until I find a woman. Don't really want you, but we're just chilling anyway. So I'm never going to marry you. I'm never going to call you a girlfriend. I'm never none of that. You're just here. And then there's the wives, the women that men truly, absolutely love and want them to be their everything and change for. We have to understand that, and especially as men, those decisions impact our life. Those decisions put us back as men. The decisions we make, the decisions that we think that may be best for at the time, put us somewhat maybe in a hole, in a 55-year-old hold. And that's tough. That's really tough. The decisions we make are so important. That's why when I finally, like, I want to do something, I want to, like, change jobs or, like, have this new, like, business idea, shirt idea, hoodie idea, or, like, anything idea, I pray about it. I think about it. I talk to other people that are like-minded to me so I can gain all the knowledge I can to make this decision, because I know decisions change the impact and the way my life will be structured. Because sometimes you get to a point and then you look back and you like, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? Is this what am I back where I'm called to be? Like, I'm so confused where life is going. Like, did that decision impact this decision? Like, if I said no there, would it put me in a better place? Would I've said yes there? Would it put me in a better place? Like, am I, and it is important that you don't go trying to decision hunt. What is decision hunt, Tim? It is trying to make a better decision than the last decision, but not thinking about this decision. Because, oh, it's better. I already know it's better. Let's go here so I can just jump forward and I can forget about this and never actually dealing with the decision that you made. And making the best out of the decision you made. Because there's always a reason. And there's always, like the old folks say, there's a reason, the season, like for everything. Yes. And us millennials, we have a hard time understanding that little quote and don't believe in it at all. But we have to do a great and a better job of analyzing the decision that we make, instead of just jumping from decision to decision, like chasing these decisions. Like, I trade foreign exchange currency, and I trade like in the stock market as well. There's an important thing that you don't go chase losses. Once you lost, you move on, you analyze it. How did you lose? So you can understand how can you go forward. And it's always forward. The people that jump losses and chase losses as chase losses and chase and chase and chase end up in a bigger hole than there actually was, because they never sat down and analyzed what they got wrong. Sat down and analyzed what the problems was, what the problems that occurred. How can I, if I would have moved this piece here and I would have got that piece there, oh, there's the hole. Like, it's a part of being a good football coach as well. You just lost. You got your tail whipped, whapped, whip-ow, all that. And you sit back the next day and you think, what decisions did I make that put us in a bad position Friday or Saturday night? And the coaches that don't do that, just, all right, we lost, blah, 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 don't analyze it. Don't sit back and let it, like, sink in. That's why me, after a loss, after a win, please do not bother me. I'm sitting out on my porch, looking at film, analyzing, trying to think what was the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because I know that I have to drop this in the next couple of days. Because I know on Monday, players are looking forward to me, looking to me for answers for the next week. So I have to analyze every decision, drop the feelings, and move on. And that is never forgetting. That is remembering, all right? Because in football, this that's why I love football. Football does a great thing. It's like a circle of life. Like if you messed up like the previous week and somebody scored like a 80-yard touchdown on you, best believe every other week you're gonna see some type of like that play. If it was like a running play, you're gonna see that run play. If it was a passing play, you're gonna see that pass play. But it's like, and that's the same thing what life does. Life has a funny thing that if you messed up 2-3 years ago, it has a weird thing of coming back, maybe not in that same scenario, but you're going to put yourself in that same situation and make the same decision. And are you going to fold or are you going to look at that decision, remember that decision that you had and that caused you to go through so much hell and get better? And that's the funny and the crazy thing about life. It's just a bunch of decisions that you make. Every day, every minute, every second, you're making a decision. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I like this shirt, yes. Like this shirt? No. Like these pants? No. I want to go here? No. I want to go there? Yes. A series of decisions, major and little, like major and minor, like, and I'm not saying every minor decision you analyze, all right, I'm wearing this shirt, so the color blue, all right, blue makes my eyes do this, all right, blue attracts girls. No. But every intermediate and major decision that you make in your life should be analyzed. But for some, a decision of a shirt means a life. Because I got friends in California, I got friends in Atlanta, that if you wear red and you wear a blue shirt in the wrong neighborhood, you might not make it out of that shirt. If you turn left trying to see some girl, you might not make it out of that neighborhood. Like, decisions matters, and we have to evaluate the situation as well. I'm almost done, and I'm gonna leave you with this. I was watching I Am Athlete. It was one of my favorite podcasts, one of my favorite shows. It comes on YouTube, and a clip of it was like, evaluate the evaluator, and Shannon was like, we have to know who's evaluating. We have to know what's evaluating. Because I could be arguing with a 9-year-old girl. I could be arguing with a millionaire. But each case, we have to evaluate the evaluator. So what if I told you that in the decisions that you make with your life, to how you're going to live your life, you have to evaluate the evaluator, which means the person that sees and evaluating you is the man upstairs, God himself. So if you don't talk, have a conversation, and even mention him in the same vein of the decision that you're going to make, you're not arguing or making a decision that impacts you, not even that impacts, it impacts so much more than what you think. a decision that going across the world without a conversation with God, are you evaluating the evaluator? Who is looking at you? There was a prayer that I did before every game, every practice. And it went like this, and I told you guys this before, and it said, God, and I do it before every podcast as well. God, I'm playing for an audience of one. Your eyes is the only one I care about. Your how you look at me is the only thing that counts. The fans doesn't matter at all. You are my biggest fan. You are my biggest motivator. You're everything that I want to be. You're everything that I hope for. You're everything that I dream for. You are the beginning and the end, and every little piece in between. You are my self-confidence. You're my wheel. I play this game for you. I play this game to help someone. I play this game so someone can be used by your vessel. So whatever you need me to do, wherever you need me to go, use me and let me be the mouthpiece for you. Use me and let me be the vessel for you. Welcome to the action statement. Like, this is a new thing that I'm doing, talking about something that I am particularly like that's on my mind or that's going on through the world that I want to talk about. It has nothing to do with pretty much self-love. It has nothing to do with nothing. It's just something that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the voter restriction and the voter suppression that's happening in the name of voter fraud. And in last year's elections, there was two, especially in Cobb County in Georgia, there was two instances of voter fraud. One, a wife signed her signature for her husband, and two, a voter signed on the wrong side of a piece of paper. So when people tell you voter fraud is real, it is not. What voter fraud is basically it is very rare, and the people that are do it is maybe of 200 or maybe 300 votes that or at all. It's never a million or billion or any of that number of votes that's really happened. If you lost, you lost. If you didn't, you didn't. So what's going on in Georgia, I want to talk about because I am from Georgia. There's a couple of things that people may not know that I want to talk about. The first thing is secure drop boxes. All right. What secure drop boxes was, they set up 94 secure locations that you can go cash your ballot anytime, basically 24 hours of the day. And it was perfectly fine. What they did was for the 94-ish, they had 92. Now, though, of those 32 secure locations now, secure drop box locations, of those 32, they only can be located in early voting locations inside of the building, and the time is open. One thing this is a waste of money. We spent so much money on these drop boxes because we needed them. And having them inside the building now and only early voting locations, and also when the time is open, it hinders some people from voting. It might be small, it might be minute, but it's something that can cause maybe 200 or 300 votes to go the other way because they don't have the time to vote. The next is there's a provision in those in the voting laws now that
if you come to the wrong precinct, you come to the wrong location, it might be in the same county that you're supposed to vote in, but if you come to that, your vote will not count anymore. Why is this important? So, say Johnny mistakenly goes to the school when he knows he's supposed to go to the library. All right, he goes to the school. He says, I believe this is my voting location, but I don't know. I want to cast my ballot. He goes to cast his ballot in this precinct, but it's wrong. The people let him. It's wrong. He cast the ballot, or he goes to cast a ballot and they send him away and say, no, you go to the library. So he gets turned away. Maybe he has an hour or two to go cast the ballot. He stood in line, got there, and they told him it was the wrong location. So even if he did vote there, his vote wouldn't count. Or he doesn't have enough time to go to the library now. Now his vote won't count as well. That is, to me, a form of voting restriction. All right. I'm in the same county, so I should be able to vote. It doesn't matter. It's just like that. If I'm in the same county, I'm here. I might be the wrong precinct. I might be the wrong location, but I'm in the same county. All right. Another thing they did is restrict absentee voting. Now you have to have your ID. Or if you don't have an ID on, like, in your hand, then you have to mail a picture of your ID. Why? It used to be that they stored your information in a database and you told them who you are. Boom. Well, you said who you are. And as when you send in your information, they know the information. They know you're from Georgia. Boom. You can vote. Now, with that, it opens up that the possibility of identity theft. It opens up that possibility of all of these things. I get you don't want people from this voting. But like I say, maybe you're in a situation like I am. I vote absentee because I move place to place to place. And I don't know every law. I pay attention to Georgia because that's where I'm from. My parents are there. My family is there. My little sister is there. And I want the best for them. So that's why I vote there. And you might say you're in this county. You should vote this county. And I understand that aspect of it as well. They also eliminated Sunday and weekend voting. And this is the thing that a lot of people do not know about. Say I want to vote on the weekends. The weekend or Saturday, why would you do that? All right. Because there's a thing in the South, well, it's called Souls to the Polls, where churches go to these different locations and they try to get people loaded up so they can go vote. When you restrict that, you get that's 300 to 1,000, maybe a week, every weekend, going to the polls and vote. And that's a form that people may don't have the ride, maybe may don't have the accessibility to get to the polls. And that is their only way they knew how to vote, because their grandma did that, their mom did that, their grandfather did that. And restricting that or taking that away really does two things. Takes away minority votes, takes away elderly votes as well. Another thing, that they restricted early voting to a week. Why would you do that? I believe it was like seven, it was about 2 to 3 weeks you can early vote. Now it's within a week. What's the point of early voting then if it's within a week? Georgia lines are already significantly long, and they take forever. And the early voting eliminates that. The weekend voting eliminates that. The Sunday, the Souls to the Polls eliminate all of that. Like, what we have is not a case against voter fraud. It's a case against voter restrictions. Many of these things, actions are being placed throughout the United States is crazy. There's $100 billion effort to fight against voter fraud. And I say like this because it is that. I'm not trying to sway you either way, Republican or Democrat. I'm trying to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And what's wrong is restricting voting. in this country, we have been restricting voting since we allowed blacks, women, and minorities to vote. So we have to do a better job. We have to understand that that is wrong. And have to understand that since it is wrong, we have to do better. So, like, say, I'm not telling you guys to tell you to do this because you're a Republican or Democrat. Like I say, this was on my mind. Like I said, I'm going to do this every time I do a podcast. It is going to be called the Action Segment. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I love you. Peace.
The ways to reach us. You can always reach us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But now you can reach us at www.selfloveuniversity.net. I say it again, www.selfloveuniversity.net. You can find all the posts, all the podcasts, and drum roll please, merchandise. We are selling Self Love University hoodies. So they range from small to 3X for men, small to 2X for women. So www.selfloveuniversity.net. I hope this episode blessed you like it blessed me. I love you guys. Check the website out. Peace.